welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And welcome to another episode of the Brother Streep Show. If you've just joined us, this is a show where we play various games, talk a little bit of nonsense, and just in general have fun. Today on the show, we'll talk a bit about Grahamstown.
The Festivale.
Indeed.
Whoa, foreign.
Arriva! We'll have a little round of liability where we'll sneak in some truths around mainly some lies in a lecture given of our choice. And we'll also have the quiz.
Oh, yes. I've been missing the quiz.
Have you missing? So we've been away for a while, hey?
Yeah, we've been away.
Yeah.
How many weeks?
It's been a couple of weeks since our last show.
Good few weeks.
Many moons.
It's quite nice to be back in a house. Now, for those are new listening, what we did is we went to the Grahamstown Festival. Dylan and I are actually in a band and we tend to sometimes play shows.
Mm.
But during the festival, we thought it'd be fun to do a little podcast. We got some fellow comedians round to a cafe or a coffee
breakfast
shop.
Breakfast bar.
Yeah. It is called a breakfast bar. It's a weird thing to call, you know, bars aren't normally associated with omelets.
Did you have like an egg martini?
Champagne breakfast. It was good. We chatted to a bunch of comedians. We hoped that people would come and enjoy, and I think they did. They just came to enjoy their breakfast.
Yeah.
That was the main thing that we found.
I really enjoyed listening to the podcast.
Thanks, man.
But you went from producer to listener.
It was beautiful. but what I wanted to know was, you know, I can't see these guests.
Yes.
Who was the biggest and who was the smallest?
Okay.
I need to know kind of...
Well, genuinely.
Yeah, genuinely.
All right.
I'd say I'll go with smallest.
Okay.
I think it's a mixture of Phil DeLange, our first guest, and Kate Pinchuk. I think she's shorter, but he's probably scrawnier.
Yeah.
How's
Phil,
that?
Phil is definitely quite... I'm glad you went with Phil because he also was the first person that came to mind.
I've purposefully jumped in on smallest, so you have to do biggest.
Well, I feel like it's...
I mean tallest. I'm talking about height.
Oh, tallest.
Me, personally, I'm only interested in height.
You are very tall, Andrew.
Oh, that's why. I need to know if I was usurped, if my third position in the podcast was usurped by a tall person.
Right.
Are you sure you don't want to go biggest? Because I'm actually quite confident in my answer.
No one's taller than you, Andrew.
Let's keep it tall.
Okay, yeah. I think the tallest is probably Nick Rabinowitz. I feel like he was quite tall.
No.
Yeah, well, I think
that
he was quite tall.
Me.
But it could be his curly fro.
Okay.
Yeah, could be that. Anyway, if you want to listen to those podcasts, they're all online. Just go to our website, click podcasts. They will be there.
It's
they're
true.
Really fun, and we enjoyed making them.
As a neutral listener, I can recommend them.
If you want to get hold of us on the podcast, you can do so at podcast@brotherstreep.com. That's an email address.
Yeah.
Send us your comments or thoughts or questions, and we'll get to them.
Indeed. Now, it's been a long time since we were on air in the confines of a home where we can finally chat once again about bathrooms.
Now, this is we're a going theme. Straight into bathrooms. Yeah.
This is a theme that
we
always tend to end up on. And I've got two bathroom stories.
Wow. Good.
Okay.
Number one or number two?
Very good. Now, most recently, I was at Cavendish. That's a shopping mall here in Cape Town. And I really needed to go to the bathroom before watching a movie.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't find a working bathroom. It was really weird.
Like, hold on, a working bathroom?
Yes.
I mean, they only have very few components.
Yeah, it just needs to have an open entrance.
Yeah,
really.
Pretty much. Like a urinal.
I don't know. You ideally want an open entrance that's going to flush.
Okay, fair enough. How would you know? Wouldn't you, you know, you'd only know that like after the fact, when it's too late.
Well, luckily, I would walk into a bathroom.
And you flush. You're wasting water. Come on, we're in a drought.
I'd walk into the bathroom and I'd see the signs on the doors. Be like, okay, I can't go to this one. Let me move to another one. Went to the other one.
Yeah.
Signs on doors.
Yeah.
It's like they've had some sort of really big bathroom break-in. Someone's stolen all the toilets or something strange.
So those are quite close to the cinema, the ones that you're talking about, I assume.
Well, I first went to the downstairs, the lower level bathroom,
because
I thought I thought, hey, this is probably used less because no one knows it's there.
But you guys famously just keep going up the floor at your place of work and get better and better bathrooms.
Well, what eventually happened is I found the bathroom, in case you're interested in which one it is. It's the one in the food court.
I was about to suggest that one.
Yeah.
It's quite like a sneaky one. You go down Diagon Alley and there it is.
It is weird. You go down an alley that has one of those like mirrors. Mirrors that you normally find in roads.
In case you take the corner too quickly. You're really desperate.
Who is that for? What are people doing down that passageway that there's essential to have a mirror to see what's around the corner?
Maybe it's kids on Heelys.
Sometimes you just, you know, you unzip like early just to prepare. Haven't you ever done that when you're walking towards a bathroom and you just kind of start dropping drow?
Because it's a good 20 meters from the corner. Like you turn the corner and then it's like 20 meters and then you go in.
Maybe that's the mirror there to warn people it's still a long way to go. So don't unzip early.
Okay, could be that. Or so you could spy on like your friends in the food court if you were on the other side.
Could be that. It's very weird. But I eventually got to that bathroom and there were like a group of people just hanging out in the men's bathroom.
Okay.
I think they had been at some sort of show or soccer match or something because they had face paint on.
Wait, how old were these people?
They were, I'm going to say like 16, 17, somewhere around there.
Hoodlums.
They were definitely loitering. that's for sure. And what I thought was, because normally what happens is you just go into the bathroom and then by the time you come out again, new people are there.
Yeah.
It's never normally the same people. But I'm like, in this specific occasion, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go out and they're still going to be there.
Yeah.
So how great would it be if I went in and just came out dressed as Spider-Man? Because like, there would be a moment where they were like, it's Spider-Man. And then they'd be like, oh, wait, no.
Can't be.
It's just the guy in a Spider-Man costume.
He doesn't exist.
I mean, it's interesting you went for Spider-Man because he's not really synonymous with getting changed in toilets.
Superman is synonymous
with getting changed in a phone booth.
Yes, yeah.
So what is Spider-Man synonymous with getting changed in a toilet and Wonder Woman's synonymous
alley,
with getting
actually.
What? Yeah.
Just down an alley. So you could have done it down there, yeah.
Because of the mirror, you couldn't just change the
people were watching.
While we're still talking about bathrooms,
was your movie experience comfortable? Did you manage to ablute necessarily and then go watch your film?
Well, I didn't have, what's the word, when people are watching?
Stage fright?
I didn't have stage fright. I wasn't like, oh, these face-painted individuals have really gotten in the way of my toilet.
If you'd managed to face-paint yourself while in the cubicle.
Oh, you could have joined them.
Nobody ever saw you again.
That would have been amazing. I would have loved to do that. I didn't have face paint with me at the time. But what I did have recently is I went up to your bathroom, Andrew. Andrew and I work.
I mean,
at the
same. You said like there's a plaque on the door saying Andrew's bathroom.
Well,
we
work at the same building, and on the second floor, Andrew dwells. He dwells there in his office, and there also is a bathroom on that second floor. And I went there, and I saw that someone had put a sign in the disabled toilets.
Oh, really?
They really did, because we've had a debate.
The saga continues.
I haven't used it in a while. but that's not because I wouldn't.
That's good. You're off the hook. Because we've had a debate for a long time on this podcast as to whether it's okay to use a disabled bathroom. If you're an able-bodied person. Now, Dylan, I'm glad you said that. Because the sign would disagree with you. Here we go. This is in the disabled bathrooms.
Yep.
Not the abled bathrooms, the disabled ones.
I can imagine which of those two people groups wrote this sign, but to carry on.
Here we go. Attention to male tenants, which is fair because this is in the male bathroom.
It's a unisex disabled bathroom.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Have you seen the sign?
No, I haven't, but I'm just giving context.
She burns.
You just said male tenants. So.
Yeah.
I'll just leave that there. Carry on.
We have a disabled person on this floor who does not have a choice of using an alternative bathroom. All right. So you kind of, from that moment, you think
it's a choice.
This is good. No. Well, I thought, oh no, this means this means that they're going to go, please, if you are an able-bodied person, do not use this bathroom. That's where I thought this data was going.
But I'm just saying, they've laid it out there. It's a choice.
Well, you're absolutely right. Because as it continues, they go, can we please be sensitive and considerate to her plight? All right. So you're like, okay, cool. Read on. What is her plight?
Yeah.
When urinating, please lift up the toilet seat cover. All right. So what's happened there?
Wait, toilet seat cover? As in the actual lid?
I don't know what people
have
been
doing. That's going to make a huge mess.
So I don't know what people have been doing in this bathroom that has made someone feel the need to write this letter.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they're saying to consider her, what you need to do is not wee all over the place. And rather to consider her, they're not saying don't go into the bathroom at all. So I feel by nature of this letter, what they're saying is that it's okay if you are
You should have trusted your gut. That first line is speaking to your morality.
No, but it's...
And you heard it. You heard the angel on your shoulder go, yes, that is what that first line means.
No.
It's discouraging.
So. But it's so specific.
And it's not saying don't come in. It's saying when you come in.
No, it's saying not everyone has the choice of which bathroom they can use.
So make sure this one's clean. That's what they're saying.
I stand by my ruling.
They're saying, if possible, please use a brush provided to clean up after you're done. Once again, what are they doing on your floor, Andrew?
And what's the brush going to do to some urine? That's going to do nothing. It's going to spread it a bit.
But if you spread liquid enough, it kind of disappears. That's science.
That's true. Anyway, so I know.
So where was the sign?
It was on the door.
On the back of the door?
Yeah, on the back of the door.
So now there's a problem because when you go into a room, you're not looking at the back of the door. You're going on doing your business, doing whatever you need to do.
Yeah, so you're only looking around you're doing your business.
Yeah, but by then it's too late. Maybe you've already urinated on the floor.
That's when you use the brush. I wanted to know, speaking of all these bathroom related things and messing on toilets, has anyone ever had the urge to do that practical joke where you put cling film over a toilet and then somebody goes and wees and it splashes everywhere?
It's very cruel.
I've definitely thought of that, but I don't think my wife Christine would enjoy that.
Especially, if you do the sit down. So no one's ever done that.
I guess if you do it, it's like instant bidet. If you're on the sit down,
that's true.
Yeah, I'm not much of a prankster, so I would
see
be too
you
nervous.
Pulling a prank, Shirley?
No, I push pranks. I push them away.
Have you ever pulled a prank?
I have pulled a prank.
Okay, what prank did you pull?
I don't know. I mean, probably some cling film on a toilet seat.
I'm sure that's why they perforate cling film. Easier for the prank.
Is that how they figure out where the perforation goes? Once it's exactly the right amount to cover a toilet seat.
Stretch it over toilet seats.
I'm so glad that we bought up toilets. Well, yes. I guess I bought them up, but later on in liability, I'm going to be doing a lecture on toilets.
Oh, really?
So I get to learn more about them, which is nice.
Or learn less about them, according to that game. I saw something in the traffic a couple weeks ago.
Was it a car?
It was. Well, I saw loads of cars, but I thought not to mention them.
That's just normally how Andrew's stories go. Hey, guys, I saw something in the traffic. It was a car.
Yeah, but mine are much longer than that to get to the point. Yeah.
I saw a limousine.
Andrew, you might actually like the story. In fact, Simon, you'll like this. You started riding a bicycle at some point recently. So, Think Bike, this kind of movement to Think Bike.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's all about giving cyclists their amount of space to make it safe for everybody, I guess. So this guy was riding up ahead of me on a bike and he had a contraption that he'd obviously built of a PVC piping about a meter long and a tennis ball on the end, which stuck out at a 90 degree angle from his bike so that, you couldn't actually drive closer than that. Otherwise, you'd hit into this little pole.
Yes.
So, which, that sounds pretty good, but he wasn't riding in the bike lane. So he was essentially just a really slow car. You couldn't pass him without doing full into the next lane swerves.
Yeah.
And I thought that's quite annoying that he's taken the initiative. I mean, good on him. He's built something. Yeah. DIY, he must have felt good about himself.
I might know this guy, by the way.
Really? Have you figured out who this is? You'll know by the second part of the story then.
Yeah.
So he was riding up ahead of me when I first noticed him, and then I managed to pass him and drove on a bit, and then I had to stop at a red robot or traffic light for our international listeners. And so I thought, well, this guy's... Oh, no. So I spitefully parked... stopped quite close to the bike lane.
Yeah.
So that this guy who was quite, you know, flamboyantly yes. driving in the car lane would yeah. now have to sit back at the back of all the cars. However, this guy pulled on some string or something and his little bar flipped in. So it was like tight up against the side of his bike. So now he could whiz through. And then when he got to the front, pulled it again and this thing, this bar came out again. He's like the coolest cyclist ever. He's like Batman.
I know. And that man, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. almost played trumpet on one of our albums.
Oh, really? Almost played trumpet.
Yeah, he didn't end up, I don't think he ended up having time. But I'm pretty, I was probably too busy.
What an ass. Yeah.
I'm almost convinced that who you're talking about is Gareth Flowerday.
Okay.
Who is, I'll show you a picture later so you can see if you recognize him. But he invented this contraption.
Really?
And he's trying to actually get it off the ground to just try help with bike safety.
Well, it's a wonderful contraption and I love it.
What I think though is you should, based on your experience, you should really make a bumper sticker saying "Think Car,"
yeah,
and put it on the side of your car just totally. For these moments.
Being quite a sort of introvert, I'd need one of those just for social situations. Just so if someone I didn't really want to talk to came towards me, I could just say "Boink, no, thank you. I'm going to move over here into this yeah. Other lane."
Well, that would be good.
I mean, you can quite easily pick up some PVC piping on your
own. That's true. I wanted to also bring up something because I have a question. I ride a motorbike.
Yes.
And there are certain things that motorbikers do and I wonder if you guys have picked up on them.
Is it right. revving their bikes a lot?
Well, there's a lot of revving. Ollieing.
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 Wheeling. Isn't it called an ollie?
No.
Ollieing would be like a jumping up off the ground with both your wheels.
That's doing a
yeah,
wheelie.
Well, sorry, California Games told me it was ollieing.
So, I've found that bikers tend to be incredibly self-righteous.
Okay.
All right. And if they are lane splitting or doing whatever,
yeah.
and someone like kind of pushes in front of them or cuts them off even slightly, like regardless of whether they were in the right or the wrong, mm-hmm. the biker, what they'll do is go slightly past them, look back at them, and then a massive theatrical shake of the head.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've seen that at all.
I kind of feel that might just be all motorists.
Oh,
or
really?
Anyone in a vehicle on the road. I feel like, generally speaking, if you're in the wrong, it's okay. But if someone else has done something like relatively small near you, that's like a bad thing to do, you're going to tut.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's different because in a car, you can kind of, you could just do it to yourself. You're like, no, I'm just, you know, just shaking
windows,
my head.
Andrew.
I yeah, find it hard to see another person shaking their head when my head is shaking so vigorously. That's the trouble for me. I'm an angry driver.
What other things do motorcyclists do that are getting you down today?
Well, I saw a motorcyclist shake their head at a Hardy Dar.
What did the Hardy Dar do?
It got in the way. But I mean, it's a Hardy Dar.
Yeah, what can you?
I mean, I've shaken my head at a Hardy Dar numerous times because they're very noisy and annoying.
So you tutted that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I'm glad I asked that question.
I went on a massive drive the other day.
Ooh, where'd you go?
Desperate to find risotto.
Risotto?
Yeah.
Is that like a new club or something?
No, it's literally the rice.
Oh.
I wanted to make risotto
okay.
on an evening. And I decided, like, when I get an inspiration like that, it doesn't just fade easily. I think yeah. about it throughout the day. I think about okay. how nice it's going to be, how creamy.
I don't know if risotto... I mean, is risotto the kind of thing that can be that nice? Though?
Yeah, you haven't had my risotto.
No, I haven't.
It's very good.
And you should change that. You should invite me around.
I will change that. Come around. Well, I need to get some risotto rice. No, there's a happy ending to this story. But I did go, what do you think is the maximum amount of shops to not have a thing that you should then call it off?
Two.
Oh, no. I struggle. I kind of feel like if I got to four, I would call it off.
Seven.
Whoa. Seven.
I went to seven different shops.
Oh, but were no. you going to like Builder's Warehouse, Micah?
You will not believe it. I got to the point where I was searching on my phone, rice shops, Cape Town. I was like,
did you mean nice shops?
Yeah, after four or two or any of these numbers, it starts to get to the point where like, now I'm going to be defeated if I don't get this thing.
Yes.
Before, you know, three or four, maybe you could go, okay, maybe I'll just have a bit of bacon and egg. I've got that in the cupboard. That's fine. But after
shouldn't
like
have bacon in the cupboard.
Five, six, I'm like, I really, really want to get this rice now. So I went to, I think, two different Woolworths, two all different right. Pick and Pays, a Spa, a Checkers, and Food Lovers Market.
I would have thought Spa wow. would have.
So who had? Who ended up having?
Wellness Warehouse.
Oh my word.
Yeah. I had to get hippie rice.
I don't know. The moment you're buying food from Wellness Warehouse, yeah. you've gone too far.
Well, yeah. It's that and energy bars. It's all they have.
I mean, that's an interesting dish to decide to go on a like an epic quest
you,
to find
again,
it for.
Again, you haven't had my risotto.
No. But yeah, but what I'm saying is it's not like... it's not like risotto takes a while. So not only did you have the time taken to find the risotto, yeah. which was extensive yeah. from the sounds of it. I don't know, maybe like 3 hours, what you're talking
about. It was in peak traffic too. This yeah. is what was really yeah, yeah. dumb about it. Is I was going into like, what's that place called? Kenilworth Center.
Yes. Oh
dear. At like 5:30 p.m.
Oh my word.
And just thinking, what am I doing with my life? Yeah. What is going on here? Only the thought of that great, creamy, lovely risotto got me through. Well, and it did get me through, and it was a lovely risotto. It wasn't like at the end of it, it was stodgy and tasteless. That would have been very sad. But yes, it was an interesting
wow,
thing.
Seven shops, that's a lot. Yeah. I don't like wellness shops kind of by principle because someone at a wellness shop was very rude to me once.
Oh, really?
I needed to buy... So we were basically looking for hemp oil, or some people call it, I had to look it up now, cannabinol oil. It's like an extract that you can find in sort of hemp and cannabis and everything, and it's meant to be good for all sorts of things like arthritis and migraines and all those kind of like fun things. And it is completely legal, even though obviously in this country currently cannabis is not legal. So anyway, I didn't know much about this stuff, but I know it's that kind of like you find it at hippie-ish kind of places. And
yeah.
So I went into one of these wellness warehouses and I went, can I please have some cannabis oil? And now cannabis oil and cannabinol or whatever oil sound very similar. So you'd think you would in that moment be able to go, oh, this is actually what you're looking for yeah. or whatever. And this lady just was like, oh, we didn't have that. That's illegal. Like, what? Chill out. Like, yeah. I'm not asking you to break the law. I just want to know if this thing exists. So I've kind of written all wellness warehouses around the world off.
I mean, that reaction makes me think that they get that all the time. and not just cannabis oil or the mistake. They just get people coming in saying, can I have some cannabis, please?
Yeah, we've heard that there's yeah. such a thing as medicinal marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can I find some?
Yes,
you're probably
so
right.
Not
so
even,
isn't
lead
the shop
you...
called Weedness Warehouse?
Do they not lead you to the right product?
They did not lead me to the right product. And I was kind of done with them. Already when they sort of gave me like attitude like, did you not know that yeah. was illegal? I'm like, oh, come on.
You're
guys.
Like, screw all this. Right. I'm going to go find a bathroom in an alleyway.
Yeah, speaking of drugs, let's talk about Coke. Because Coke, you know, I used to have cocaine. And that's not really what I want to go down right now, but I felt like I needed a link.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. Right. I just wanted a link. I made a link. It wasn't nice. The best link.
No, hey, listen, sugar's a drug.
There we go.
And I'm addicted.
So I watched a Coke ad the other day. Yeah. Not by choice. I was forced to. I was after said trying to find the bathrooms.
Yeah.
I went to go see this film and this Coke ad happened to play during
tough.
The film.
Do you remember the days, sorry, of really needing to go to the cinema to see the trailers?
Yeah.
And nowadays, the trailers, like three newer trailers are out on YouTube before you've seen them at the cinema.
That's true.
And all you end up doing is spending half an hour watching the same ads.
Yes, yeah.
Over and over for like Eagles, whiskey, and Coke. Yeah.
7 minute like Sunlam ad that yeah. no one needs.
But it's such a beautiful story.
Oh, yeah, Andrew. They found each other in the end. Sorry, back to Coca-Cola.
All right. So I need your help understanding this advert.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk through the advert. All right. So basically what happens is that I think it's a hot summer's day. And that's what I've gathered by the sort of the setting. And you kind of go into a convenience store. There's a lady behind the counter. Mm. She's seeming kind of bored, which I can understand. You know, it's hot summer's day. There's probably fun happening outside. You've got a potentially...
It's a holiday job.
Yeah.
All her friends are free.
You're not loving it. So that doesn't... Right now, that kind of makes sense.
Does the convenience store have air conditioning?
It's unclear.
I mean, she's not like sweating.
She is
because
not
because sometimes these ads are very big on sweating. Like,
yes,
sweating is a key point.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because what happens next is a man walks in.
Right.
He looks slightly older than this girl. They're both kind of maybe somewhere between like 20, 24
okay.
Years of age. The man walks in. He has been sweating, but he's been sweating in like kind of a nice way. He's not like big sweaty man on the bus pitting, like he's not the kind of it's not the kind of sweaty where you're like, oh, that person just got caught in the rain. Oh no, wait, I can smell they didn't.
He's advert sweaty.
He's politely sweaty.
Yeah.
He's like mainly the tops of his clothing is like a bit damp.
But he's been playing sport with his friends, some football, but he's been the keeper.
Yes, yeah. That kind of the perfect level of sweaty for an ad. Anyway, he walks into the store. The lady kind of perks her interest a bit because obviously she's feeling slightly frisky or something like that. It's like, oh, a man in store. Let me see what he's up to.
I'm going to have some of that.
She kind of follows him around. Like she's sitting behind the counter.
She follows him around.
Well, she's using the security cameras to sort of see where he goes. Okay. Which is kind of creepy. Right.
Yeah.
But still, that's not really my problem with his advert. This is when it starts getting interesting. He goes into the fridge and takes out a Coke. And right then and there, without paying for it, drinks the Coke.
Yeah.
All right, is that acceptable behavior? Let's just stop and find out. Can you...
This is an interesting one because I feel like mothers with children do this a lot.
Mm.
And I'm not a mother, nor do I have a child.
No.
But I was once a child and I have a mother.
Yeah.
Now that I've covered all my bases. And I don't remember... Maybe I wouldn't, but I don't remember doing the whole, here's your packet of chips, just you eat that now while we walk around.
Yeah.
But it seems to happen. I see it happen. And then you just go and when you pay, you just hand them a bunch of empty stuff.
I'd like to buy this empty packet of chips, please.
That they ring up. I don't know. I don't do it personally.
Okay, you don't do it. Andrew, do you do this?
I do remember my mom maybe giving me a chocolate at a shop when I was young.
Hectic.
And I ate it.
But you never paid for it.
I think it may have happened a handful of times and I remember the guilt.
Right, so you don't currently do this.
I don't do it, but
it feels strange.
Technically, if you pay for it, there's no problem, but it does feel weird.
Up until you've paid for it, you haven't paid for it. So once if you get to the till and your mom's forgotten her purse and then suddenly all you've done here is eaten chips and chocolates and drank some Coke and you have no way.
It's all about shop policy, you know, because I probably wouldn't do it because there might be a security guard who is not having it.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got to clean up these wrappers day after day.
Also with a Coke, you could go up with an empty Coke that you've now drank and give them the bottle and actually get money back for it. It's like a double win.
I feel already this guy, he's breaking a rule. That's how I feel. And I feel like Coke shouldn't be lifting him up on some sort of pedestal.
Right.
But he drinks this water, and this is the second part of the advert that I don't quite understand. He drinks this water, and as he's drinking, he's drinking the Coke. And as he's drinking it, this woman is like looking at him as if he's doing the sexiest thing alive.
Yeah.
Is drinking stuff sexy? Have you ever looked at someone drinking something and thought, oh?
Well, I've watched Napoleon Dynamite and he has a drink after a rigorous workout and it's not very sexy. It's the first image that came to my mind when you said that. But now, is he drinking like you or I would drink? Or has time somehow slowed down
somewhat? Look, he's drinking.
Glug, 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 glug.
He is
drinking about that.
He is drinking in a flashier way than what we would normally drink.
Kind of.
Does he have biceps with the arms that he's holding the bottle with?
He does have biceps.
Is his Adam's apple bouncing up and down in a rhythmic manner?
Is it more about, you seem to be quite the expert on this, Andrew. Is it more about the biceps than the drink itself? I want to know if, for example, Christine dies in a horrendous accident and I have to hit the field again to pick up ladies.
I feel like the phrase Christine dies in a horrendous accident is not the first time it's happened on this podcast. These random hypotheticals you keep coming up with.
If that happens, hypothetically, and I were to pick up women in a convenience store, do you think just the mere act of drinking a Coke is enough? Or do you think you have to have biceps? Biceps sort of the focus?
Will you have been the keeper for a sports game?
I will be sweating beautifully, but not too much, you know, the right amount of sweat.
We're going to play football together tomorrow.
Yes, yeah.
How about at the end of the game, you grab a water bottle and just do like a slow profile drink?
All right.
I'll let you know if that's eligible.
All right,
for like you know, sexy time.
I think I need to know that because for my money, I've never seen anyone drink something and gone, all right, that's sexy. So I think this person has a weird fetish. Is basically what I'm saying. The convenience store girl is a bit strange, but that's not the worst part.
Crucial moment in this advert that I wonder if you've seen. Like when he walks in, do they make eye contact?
I kind
is that
of
part shown?
I can't remember.
Because she could be attracted to him from that point on, no matter what he does. He could pull down his pants and, you know,
urinate into the frozen food.
Yeah, all down the aisles, and she'd still be dreaming of those eyes.
That is potential. When I watch it again, I'll let you know.
I just like to interject.
Well, you
and
will
say,
definitely watch it again, because it's on every damn time you go to the movies.
Definitely.
I just like to say, I'm loving the story, but this is a very boring advert. Nothing has happened.
But this is where, this is for my money, is where it gets interesting and stupid at the same time. So what happens is she sees this, she loves the act of him drinking the Coca-Cola, so much so that when he finally eventually makes his way to the front to pay for this beverage that he's already consumed, she gets the idea, I would like to see him do that again. So having seen him drink a regular Coke, she quickly runs to the fridge and she grabs out a bottle, puts it in front of him and says, you know, that's on the house, but only if you drink another one or whatever. She says something weird like that.
Yeah.
But here's the weird thing. And are you laughing? You might have noticed this as well.
I know where this is going.
She doesn't get him a regular Coke like he had. Yeah. She gets him a Coke Light. What is she trying to imply? Yeah. She's just seen him really enjoy a regular Coke.
Like really, really enjoy
it. Yeah, like super enjoy it. Like sexy sweat enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then she gets him a Coke Light. Is she like, I think, I just, for the health reasons, I don't want you'd have to drink another regular Coke.
I think this is a subtle Amazon ad, because he's like, well, if you like that, you'll like this.
Liability. Welcome to Liability. This is the part of the podcast where we will be presenting small little lectures on our chosen topics.
Awesome.
All the things we say will be completely lies, completely untrue, other than 5 bits of true information, which we will try to sneak past. And depending on how well we do that, we will get points awarded or deducted.
Can I give myself a point just right off the bat for being awesome?
You can. Can you make it on a different page where it doesn't count at all towards this?
Okay, cool. I'll make it on the quiz page.
Yeah.
Coming
okay,
up later.
I'm going to start us off.
All right.
My little lecture is on beer.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go. Beer. Also, you guys can buzz in when you feel like you've heard something true. You know, for the rules. Beer is the world's oldest and most widely consumed alcoholic drink. It is the fourth...
Oh, I think that's a trap. It's got you there.
I don't know. I don't think it's the oldest. I think wine is the oldest. But maybe it's... Oh, do you know what? Wine's probably the most widely consumed as well. Anyway, I beeped in. I have to go for it. The most widely consumed drink?
Is true.
Yes! All right.
It is the fourth most popular drink overall after water, wine, and tea. Common ingredients in the production of beer include molasses, tree sap, soup, soot, and motor engine oil.
Beep.
Yes.
I think you've smuggled one in there, and I think that it's molasses would be maybe used in beer.
That's not true.
Oh.
No. Oh, sorry, it's a minus point for you, Andrew.
No, thanks.
All right. According to a Finnish study...
Can I interject? I think you smuggled something that is true in there, but I've already forgotten the long
list
of things you said.
Would you like to hear the list again?
Don't give him the list.
I think that's kind of cheating. But yeah, actually, I would like to hear the list again. Andrew, you can't buzz.
So this is have you buzzed? You got a pre-buzz.
Yeah. Okay.
But then he has to give an answer.
Well, yeah.
If you buzz, you give an answer.
Yeah, once I've heard the list.
But I'm going to tell him the list again.
Yeah.
He's already buzzed, Andrew.
Beep. This makes me feel that that doll hasn't snuck a true thing in
there. Molasses,
yeah.
Which we've discovered is not true. Tree sap, soup, soot, and motor engine oil.
Oh, damn it. I'm left. Okay, tree sap.
No, that's not true.
Damn it. I've lost the only point
I heard a beep.
I think it was a comedy beep.
I think I heard a beep.
Okay, fine. I'll go.
Do you
want to
hear the list again?
I'll go for, what did you say?
Tree sap.
Thank you.
Do you want to try?
I'm going to say soot.
It's not.
Okay.
Not actually, cool. Sidebar, it might be motor oil because
I
do know back in the day, especially in the Prohibition, they used to use some really weird things to create homemade beer.
Should have said that then.
Should have said that. Didn't say that. Let's
According
just continue.
To a Finnish study, each bottle of beer you drink reduces the risk of developing kidney stones by 40%, reduces the risk of heart disease by 55%, and reduces the risk of not joining everyone on the dance floor by 73%.
Beep. I think it's going to be heart disease.
It is not heart disease.
Damn it.
Beer pong, also known as Beirut, was developed in the...
Yeah, let's go for that.
What?
Beer pong is also known as Beirut.
That is true.
Yay!
That is true, Andrew. You can have a point there. was developed in the 1920s and is a test of endurance whereby one has to consume a beer that has been left to ferment for over a year and therefore really pongs. The activity was popularized in the 2009 comedy Michael Jackson's This Is It. Beer companies strive for great catchy slogans, but not all of them make the final cut. For example, Castle Lager, due to the fact that we are not related, we are not brothers. Hansa Pilsner, the unmistakable touch of the Tsar's hand. Or simply, Guinness gets you drunk.
Beep. I think that there was a time when they were thinking Guinness gets you drunk was a...
That is true.
Yes.
It was suggested by Irish poet Brendan Behan, or... however else you pronounce that.
I pronounce it Beerhahn just for Beerhahn. Sake of that.
Very good. Okay, here are my last bits. The world's longest hangover lasted 4 weeks after a Scotsman consumed 60 pints of beer. The strongest beer in the world has a 76.5% alcohol content.
Beep. I'm going to go for that one.
Which one?
The 76% alcohol.
That's not correct.
Beep. Ah. Based on how you responded to Andrew there, I'm going to go for the Scotsman.
That is correct.
Oh, yes.
Despite its name, Oktoberfest is actually held in November.
Beep. I feel like that is true.
That is not true.
That's not true. It's Oktoberfest.
It's held in September.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the end of my beer lecture.
Yay.
And at the end of that, I have snuck one piece of truth past you guys, and that is that each bottle of beer you drink reduces the risk of developing kidney stones by 40%, according to a Finnish study.
Oh.
So, you know, that's worth knowing.
Is this a finished study, as in they finished the study, yeah, or just from Finland?
I hope it's an actual study from Finland that counts for something, because I'm going on that now.
I can confirm that at the end of this round then, Dylan has 1 point.
Ooh.
Well done. I kind of evened out at 0. Andrew, you're on minus 2 points, so you've got some catching up to do.
That's all right.
Let's see if you can catch up in your lecture.
Okay, my lecture is about toads.
Sweet.
So I hope you like toads. Here we go.
Wait, sorry. Are you saying toes or toads?
T-O-A-D-S. Toads.
Okay. Good thing I clarified.
Toads.
Toads.
I don't know.
Toads.
Maybe I should have put a pronunciation fact. Here we go. Toads are predominantly found in cosmetic surgeries having their boils removed. It is a voracious animal and eats small mice, baby hedgehogs, charcoal, and dead deer.
Beep.
Simon.
I feel like there might be some toads that eat baby hedgehogs.
Okay, well, you are incorrect.
Ah.
Yes.
I'd like to say that it's a voracious creature.
Well.
Is that not a truth that you are asserting? It's not a
truth
that
I was banking on. It doesn't mean it's true.
Quite vague. I mean, some toads probably aren't that hungry.
Okay, so we just... I think we'll count that as a zero,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of Toad from Wind in the Willows, and he was particularly angry. I don't think he was a pleasant guy. I don't think everyone loved Toad. I think he... Mm. Like, they loved Mole. Everyone loved Mole, but Toad... Oh.
Wait, did you say angry or hungry?
Angry. Were you saying hungry?
I was saying voracious, which is hungry.
Never mind. I thought you said voracious.
It's amazing that those two words and their meanings are so similar.
I mean, I think it's an unintentional truth, so I think Dylan does get a point for that.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I mean, Mole was quite hungry all the time. Yeah, so.
pipe down. Right, here we go. Having 14 teeth, they chew the...
Yep. Yes. 100%, 14 teeth.
No, that's not true.
Well, you've obviously never pulled teeth out of a toad before.
Having 14 teeth, they chew their food for several hours, resulting in a lot of burping noises.
Beep.
Simon.
I believe that they chew their food for a couple of hours.
No, remember, they have no teeth.
No, you just said that they don't have 14
teeth.
I know.
I didn't specify how many they had, but they have no teeth.
I'm going to put it out there. I don't think you're a toad expert.
Well, they have no teeth.
Okay, I'll minus a point.
I wasn't going to reveal until the rest of my fact. And you're wrong.
Beep. They have no teeth.
It's too late. When attacked, the common toad adopts the charismatic stance of making itself as small as possible and acting like a toadstool. It's nothing? Okay.
Not having
beep,
that.
Beep, 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 beep. I think there's a chance. I'm just really losing points very quickly here, but I think there's a chance to try and make themselves as small as possible.
Okay, so it's the opposite of that. It's make themselves as big as possible.
Oh, I see what you've done here.
You're wrong
you've
there.
Looked yeah. up toads on Wikipedia and He's just written the opposite fact. Of what yeah. you've seen.
In That's fact,
the
these are all just false. Here we go. Okay.
Okay, minus one again.
Its chief means of defense lies in its ability to jump 5 meters in the air. Yes.
Yeah, that.
No, that's not
the next thing I actually...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the foul-tasting secretion that is produced by glands on its skin.
Yeah, that's the one.
Are you beeping for that?
I'm beeping for both of those, it turned out. Yeah.
For both. Well, the first one is false.
But the second one?
The second one is true.
Okay, so naught for that. Great.
Right. Toads move by somersaulting head over heels.
It's a fun image, not beep worthy.
Oh. In Europe, in the Middle Ages, the toad was associated with the devil, which is why the associated hand gesture resembles a toad's head. Queen Victoria kept a bevy
beep,
of toads.
Oh wait, beep, beep, beep. I think it's possible that the hand gesture thing is wrong, but that the toad was associated with the devil.
You are correct.
Yes! Oh.
Yeah. Sneaky point.
Queen Victoria kept a bevy of toads in an attempt to ward off illness. She died after licking one to see if it would turn into a prince.
Beep.
Dylan, I think, beeped in first.
Fractionally. Yeah. The first part of that, the bevy of toads.
No, it's not true.
Oh, Simon was definitely going to say that.
That is 100% what I was going to say, and I'm very glad it didn't, because obviously that's not true, Dylan.
Damn it.
Okay, toads have been known to spontaneously combust in Hamburg at a lake called the Pool of Death, also known as Toads in the Hole.
Beep.
Yes.
Oh. I think that... the toads in Hamburg have been known to spontaneously combust.
They have.
Yes.
They have been known to spontaneously combust. The reason for the exploding toads was thought to be due to a viral or fungal infection from horses. However, the real reason for their demise was a murder of crows.
The horse's fungal.
Is incorrect.
Oh,
and
man.
Thus ends my lecture.
No.
So after that lecture, I managed to sneak two truths past you guys.
Mm.
The first one was that they eat small mice.
Ah, yeah. Okay. I remember that from back then.
And the other one was the reason that they were exploding was, well, I phrased it as a murder of crows.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's the collective noun for crows. But it is actually what would happen is that the crows figured out that if they just went in and stabbed the toads and got their liver, literally just took out the liver, the toads basically couldn't stop themselves expanding when they kind of inflate themselves up and they would just explode. And the crows kind of figured this out. So all they needed was the liver and they would just torture these poor toads.
Well, I assume, and then eat them or something. It wasn't
quite
purely
possibly.
Torture.
Yeah. Well, maybe they would tie them onto the end of a string and walk around with them at a fair. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for my little story. As mentioned earlier, I'm going to be talking about toilets.
So yes.
Settle in. The earliest example of a toilet in written history is in the Bible. In the book of Leviticus, it is mentioned that the Israelites would hollow out a dead camel's hump and use it for their ablutions. Anyone?
No.
The oldest toilet in the world is still functioning about 4,000 years after it was built and is currently a big tourist attraction in Rome. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big tourist attraction in Rome, the oldest toilet.
You are incorrect. But let me continue. It costs €5 if you want to do a number one in it and €10 for a number two. If you want the full experience, it'll cost you €14 for both, a saving of €1.
Mathematically, that is true. That is a saving of €1.
Is that what you're peeping on?
That is, yeah.
Oh.
I feel like in a game of lies and truths. All right, I'll go for a zero on that one.
The modern porcelain toilet was invented by a Swedish porcelain doll artist named Sven. They done that.
Beep. Beep. I'm not. That's not his name, but I think it was a porcelain artist who invented it.
No.
Oh.
All right. Mr. There Done That desperately needed to go one day whilst in his workshop, and in desperation relieved himself over the mouth of a giant porcelain doll he had created for an expert.
I wish I'd waited.
He so enjoyed the feeling of porcelain on his buttocks that he immediately stopped making dolls and went into toilets instead. Some common words for the loo are the hole hole, the bum hat, flunch, garderobe, pooton, and Hermanus.
Beep. whatever the garderobe was, I think. Yeah.
Well, let's start with Dylan for fun.
No, well, Andrew's beeped and said, I need to hear the verdict.
All right. Well, no, because I kind of wanted... All right, fair enough. You're right, Andrew, but I want to know what Dylan had to say.
Well, I beeped anyway. I would have gone with the whole hole. I feel like that could be some kind of, you know, Cloud Atlas kind of toilet.
Well, fortunately, Andrew's correct, Dylan, you're wrong.
Okay.
But, if you want, you can use the word whole hole to refer to as a
I plan
toilet,
to.
And you can. All right. Originally, toilet means act of washing, dressing, and preparing oneself.
Beep. Yeah. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
I think so, that's what it means.
You're correct.
Yay. It is what it means. Boy.
This means that saying my wife spent 2 hours in the toilet this morning is actually an accurate statement.
Beep. Well, because it is true, that is also true.
You can't pick up sneaky points there, sorry. It has been scientifically proven that the amount of time you sit on the toilet is heavily determined by these three factors. Your height divided by your age, the amount of peanut butter you consume, or the amount of features you have on your smartphone.
Ooh.
I mean, one of them must be true.
Yeah, but it can only really be the one, surely.
Yeah. Are you going to try?
I've just lost so many points already.
Okay, I'll try. Beep the second one.
What? Right.
So you think it is...
Peanut butter.
Yeah. The amount of peanut butter you consume. You are incorrect.
No. I'm going for the first one, height and age.
You are incorrect as well.
Oh, there isn't one.
All right. When it comes to hygiene...
Done.
The average kitchen chopping board has about 200 times more fecal bacteria on it than a toilet seat. Your computer keyboard has about 300 times the bacteria of your toilet seat.
Beep. That one.
Are you sure you don't want to hear all three? Just to make sure.
I mean, I've already locked in my answer, but carry on.
All right. And your dog's mouth has about half the amount of bacteria as your toilet seat. All right. So you went for computer keyboard.
Yeah.
You are incorrect.
Yeah.
Dog's mouth half or the other one?
No, dog's got dog's mouth.
Why?
Go dog's mouth.
They do talk about the dog's mouth being clean.
I think so.
Yeah, I'll go dog's mouth.
You are incorrect.
No. Sorry.
Can I have the other one? No.
That's why if you eat all your food out of your dog's mouth, you will live longer than if you ate all your food off your toilet seat, computer keyboard, or kitchen chopping board. Fact. When O.J. Simpson was first arrested for the murder of Nicole James back on the 12th of June, 1994, his initial defense was that he couldn't have possibly done the crime as he was on the toilet at the time. This led to the iconic catchy phrase that was uttered by the defense throughout the case, no crime, toilet time. Fun fact, O.J. Simpson's real name is Orange Juice Simpson. Finally, over the years, toilet paper has been made out of billions of different things, including bees' wings, toucan feathers, dried pig mucus, and keeping up with the Kardashians DVD inlays.
Toucan feathers.
Incorrect.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to beep in. Why not?
Hey? Yeah, go for it.
I mean, pig's mucus.
No.
It's the weirdest one.
I say that and finally was true?
You can. You can have a point.
Hooray.
All right. I managed to get three true things in amongst all of that.
Amazing.
They were that the oldest toilet in the world is still functioning about 4,000 years after it was built. It just wasn't in Rome.
I thought it was the other thing.
Yeah. Then I got through that.
Where is it? Do you know?
I feel like it is...
I think it's on the second floor.
Very good. The second thing I got through was that the amount of features you have on your smartphone has been scientifically proven to affect the amount of time you sit in the toilet.
That is fake science.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if that's just some guy who's once sat in the science class saying that that is true.
I mean, BuzzFeed is science, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And then the one he didn't go for was that the average kitchen chopping board has about 200 times more fecal bacteria on it than a toilet seat.
Well, not mine.
Well, fair enough.
That is very strange. I wonder why that is.
I
don't wonder why that is, because now you're going to tell me. I don't want to know why.
So who actually wins all that, Andrew?
Well, I can reveal that, that last round basically just meant that Simon ran away with it, winning with 2 points.
Oh, wow. A whopping two.
I was in second with -2 and Dylan came in last.
Look, it was an honor just to play.
-6.
I enjoyed it.
I also enjoyed it, so much so that it almost feels like there's... Is that music? That's...
What? That doesn't...
No.
Whoa!
The quiz!
Oh, I'm a bit achy. It's been a while. I'm stretching out. Feeling the quiz vibes again.
I used to flex my quiz muscles.
Yeah.
Are you a bit achy or just a bit of a bad actor?
I have a bad backter. So, this week's quiz is the Matt Damon quiz.
Is that okay. The same as Matt Damon?
I had to figure out who that was for a second there.
Try to Matt spice Damon. It up a little. Matt Damon.
Okay.
He's Damon.
You've heard of him. He's famous, etc.
He's famous. He's
so
a Martian.
We're going to start with round Matt Damon 1. And this is a round about general knowledge questions about Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So the first question, please buzz in for your answer. And remember, once you buzzed in, your answer is locked. So Simon, what is your answer?
Pick and pay Argus cycle tour.
That's an that's interesting, but it's wrong. The first question was
for that. This is like Jeopardy.
No, I knew the question, but it was wrong. The first question is, to make money, Damon used to do what in the middle of Harvard Square?
Is it just me playing right now?
No, you can beep in again.
I've beeped.
Dylan.
He used to juggle.
Is incorrect.
He used to draw sketches of people.
No, is incorrect.
He used to sing.
Is incorrect, Dylan.
He used to sell pigeon feed to people.
Is incorrect, Simon. Dylan is closer so far.
Beep used to play guitar.
I was getting the point there.
No, is incorrect.
Beep used to play saxophone.
He used to act.
No, is incorrect.
Beep was a mime.
Getting closer, but no.
Beep
has to do with
clown.
It has to do with music and movement.
I already said
that. Beep was a dancer.
He was a dancer.
Is the right answer.
I can't believe
this. He used to break dance, Simon. Well done.
Break dance?
Yeah.
Simon wasn't thinking of that.
I was implicit and he used to dance.
It's kind of, we need to move on.
Oh,
right.
Man.
The second fact is Tom Hanks didn't want Matt Damon playing the title role in Saving Private Ryan because he thought Damon was what?
Beep.
Dylan.
Too young.
Is incorrect, Simon.
Beep. Not famous enough.
No.
Too good looking.
Is not correct, Dylan.
Oh.
Beep. Not a serious enough actor.
No, it has to do with his appearance.
Beep.
Dylan.
Not good looking enough.
No, is incorrect.
Beep.
No.
Too much... He didn't look hardy enough. He didn't look manly enough.
I'm going to give that to you. He was too skinny, apparently.
Scrawny. Scrawny. He's no fat Damon.
Yeah. Okay, the third fact is Damon used to smoke, but how did he quit?
Beep.
Simon.
Hypnosis.
Is the right answer.
Oh, man. Being trampled.
And the final question in this round is, in 2013, Damon appeared in a 20-second ad for Nespresso directed by Grant Heslov. Okay, well,
George
I've got to
Clooney.
Stop there. Is incorrect. The deal earned him... the deal earned him how much money?
Beep.
Simon.
Nothing. You did it for free. Or for Nescafe or something.
Oh, is this closest answer?
It was. So, beep in.
$1.
Well, I mean, technically, Dylan is closer. It was $3 million.
Hooray!
So Dylan is marginally closer.
Right. Moving on to round two, which is first, best, most. And this is where we look at the first movie that this person did, the best movie, and the most money that they made. So, the first round part of this round is, you've got a name. What movie he did first out of these three? Here they go.
Mm-hmm.
Field of Dreams. Mystic Pizza and The Good Mother.
Beep.
Dylan just got in there
first.
I'm
going with Mystic Pizza on this one.
Mystic Pizza. Simon?
Do you know what? I think I'm also going with Mystic Pizza because I know it exists and it stars Julia Roberts and it's a fun name of a film.
It is a fun name of a film.
Well,
fortunately,
you are both correct.
Yay!
It was in 1988.
And do I get an extra point for saying Julia Roberts is in it?
No, you don't. But you do get 1 point because Dylan gets 2 points for buzzing in first and Simon gets one.
All right, fair enough.
Right, so now we're going to talk about the best movie that he's been in. This is according to the IMDb rating 5 weeks ago.
Right.
Here we go. The movie's options are Saving Private Ryan, Bending the Arc, and Interstellar. Beep. Dylan again with a quick buzz. Interstellar, all right. Simon?
Oh. It's not really a Matt Damon vehicle, but I feel like people are going to have liked it more.
Ah, Saving Private Ryan, though.
IMDb, though.
Yeah, you're right. I think
for the safe 1 point.
I'm going to go for the risky 2.
Ah.
Saving Private Ryan.
Well, you're both wrong. Apparently, Bending the Arc is
Who's seen Bending the Arc? One person's seen it.
Well, he's involved.
And he's so excited he saw it, he gave it a 10.
He says it's 8.7.
Bending the Arc's 8.7 and the other two are 8.6 respectively.
Oh, I bet that's different by now.
Okay, so the most money that a movie has grossed that he's been involved in, here are the options. Saving Private Ryan, The Martian, and The Bourne Ultimatum. Simon.
Can I sidebar really quickly?
Yeah.
Which one is The Bourne Ultimatum?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
The one that earned the least money.
No, but is it like the first or second or third
it's
of the
third,
Bourne?
The third, I think. The one before he left.
Okay. I'm going to go for The Bourne Ultimatum.
I'm going to ask for the options again. What was the second option?
So it was Saving Private Ryan,
right.
The Martian, and The Bourne Ultimatum.
I'll go The Martian.
The Martian.
Yeah, it was Oscar nominated.
Well, the right answer was The Martian.
Sweet.
So darn it.
Dylan gets 2 points and Simon gets no points.
Best comedy.
By the third, they would have like, everyone would be like, I've got to go see The Bourne Ultimatum. That was my theory. There's only one Martian. There's only one.
Hey guys, I got to go see The Bourne Ultimatum or else.
Very good. It's good. It's a good joke.
Yeah. I did like that. Okay,
let's give me a point for that joke.
No, we're gonna move on to round three.
Yeah.
Which is finish the
ultimatum.
Potatoes.
Quote. So the first quote from Matt Damon is, "If anybody wanted to photograph my life, they'd get
beep
Simon
a Polaroid camera.
They'd get their camera broke.
Oh no, it's not that either.
Is it not?
Sorry.
Beep. They'd get
a shock. Beep a shock.
It's incorrect.
They'd get bored? So,
is the right answer. They'd get bored in a day. Right.
I don't think I would.
Okay, no. The next quote is before... Yes?
Just walking around photographing somebody else.
Yeah,
that is a job as well.
But you get to watch all the films he's doing before they come out.
That's true.
Just in little sections.
You shoot them, you can make like a flip book and sell that.
Oh, is that job available?
Flipbook shooter.
It's not on my notes. So the second quote is, right before The Bourne Identity came out, I hadn't been offered a movie in...
Beep.
Simon.
3 years.
3 years. Dylan?
Years.
This is not a closest answer wins.
Beep
so
2 years. Beep 1 year. Beep 4 years.
Simon was closest because he was on the right track, which
you
is a year.
You just said this is not a closest answer wins.
Yeah, but he got the right track.
What
so
is it?
He's getting a year.
I ended up saying that.
I can't believe it.
So, the last quote is, it's better to be a fake somebody than a real villain. Nobody is the correct answer.
Well, that's an obvious...
Yeah, that's math.
Obvious quote.
Yeah. Okay, well, moving on to round four, which is distant relative, and we're going to be talking about Saving Private Ryan. The movie.
Yeah.
All right. Instead of the
fan club or something. Okay, so the first question is, which actor introduced Damon to Steven Spielberg in Boston during rehearsals for the movie Good Will Hunting? Simon.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is incorrect.
Beep. Robin Williams.
Well, Dylan beeped and said the correct answer, so he gets a point.
Darn it. He would have gone there, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
The actor in that film. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Question two
it's
is...
a leading question.
All the... That's how it works.
Single ladies.
All the principal actors, except Matt Damon, had to go through several days of brutal army training. Why, Dylan?
Why?
Yep.
To act better in the film.
is incorrect.
How is that incorrect?
It's wrong. When you hear the answer, you'll know.
I'll kick myself.
Beep. Yes. To learn how to shoot a gun?
It's incorrect. It's much more nuanced. It has to do with kind of the dynamics.
I know.
Yes,
So that they could be like a group, like of brothers, the camaraderie they needed. Beep. Something like that. So
it
that
is like that, but yeah. It's more specific. Sorry. It's
even more specific than more specific. Some kind of group, the camaraderie.
Yeah, it's
that.
Specific to Matt Damon's character. So,
so they would respect. So they would be. Oh, so that they say, would. Simon? So they respect Matt Damon well, or the opposite. Maybe they would feel like he's an outsider because he's Ryan in the film, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they would feel disconnected to him. Like yep, they would feel like a group it. Together.
Oh, I'm going to give it to you. So that they would resent.
That is piggybacking off my answer if I've ever heard it.
So that they would resent him is the answer.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, here we go.
Jeez.
So you did get there in the end. Okay, the third.
I got there in the start.
The third question is, Steven Spielberg used what to shake the camera to simulate the impact of explosions? Dylan, you buzzed.
Dog.
Dog to shake the camera.
Yeah, why
like
not?
A wagging tail.
Beep. Yeah,
fair enough. It's wrong, but it's funny. Yeah.
He used his hand.
No, it's incorrect.
A guitar string
is incorrect.
Wrong film.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. This is
sex toy.
No, this is something that you could buy at Builder's Warehouse.
Beep,
Simon.
A ladder.
Is incorrect.
Pneumatic drill.
Is the right answer a drill? Yes. Well then.
Well, there's a difference between a pneumatic drill and a drill.
Listen, you can't talk for getting point leniency.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I know the drill.
Okay. Right. And the final question is: how many barrels of fake blood were used for the Omaha beach scene to simulate the effect of blood in seawater?
273.
Now that's interesting because that's. Quite high, but also not that high.
Can I read the full question?
I heard it.
You haven't. Yes, you heard.
I know
it,
what the question is.
Okay.
And I know that all I need to do is answer one higher or lower than Simon to win it.
Yeah, it's closest.
But barrels of fake blood. 273 barrels. How many liters are in a barrel? I don't know these things.
Neither do
despite
I.
Despite all my knowledge on beer, I'll go with one less. 272 barrels.
Okay, well, the correct answer was 40, so Dylan...
Yes!
So Dylan gets the point.
Oh, yes.
And incidentally, wins the quiz with 10 points to 6.
Takes it.
So
wow.
Well done, Dylan.
Thank you
I
very
really
much.
Fell behind there.
I don't know any Saving Private Ryan music that I can hum in victory, but I do know Jurassic Park.
No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You need to do things like...
And I won.
Ow!
Hey, you idiot, put your helmet on. No, I don't need to. Splat.
Very good.
That scene.
If you enjoy this podcast, you can listen to more because there are loads more on our site. Just go visit there, look through the archives, hear those interviews with guests we were speaking about earlier from Grahamstown. Email us at podcast@brotherstreep.com. If you want to support the show financially, go to our website, click on donate, and you can donate some money so we can do more of this. And most importantly, tell your friends, have fun. And we'll see you not next week, but in 2 weeks' time because we've decided just to sort of spare us some time. We're going to do this every 2 weeks from now on, just for a bit. See how it goes.
It's going to be even better though.
Yeah, it'll be, well,
the same.
More maybe.
Should
Let's
it
see.
Be better if we're taking all that time off?
I don't know, but what are we going to do with all that free time?
Oh, we should cut here. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.